Good morning. We are in Romans. We're in Romans chapter 9 again. Romans chapter 9, we studied through the chapter, and what we did last week was we went through and did something we don't normally do, which was more like a commentary on the verses as we just walked through them so that we would understand the passage of Scripture. Today what we want to do is we want to now go in and look at this doctrine of election, Romans chapter 9, verse 11, the children being not yet born, speaking of Jacob and Esau, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Now, what we're going to look at today is we're going to look at this doctrine of election some more. We saw it last week. We've talked about it the week before, but now we're going to go through and look at something because there's a misconception. And the misconception about the doctrine of election is this. The doctrine of election has been taught and is being taught in many Baptist churches today as a doctrine that basically says this. God made a decision before the foundation of the world about every man, woman, and child. Who would be saved and who would be lost. He already determined that. And those that he decided before the foundation of the world that he would save are called in this doctrine the elect, and everybody else is the damned, and it doesn't make any difference how much they want to believe, how much they want to go to heaven, how much, it doesn't make any difference. Those that were not elect are damned. They're going to go to hell regardless. And oftentimes you'll hear this doctrine called Calvinism because of a man named John Calvin, and this doctrine is pretty much attributed to his teaching. But what we're going to see today when we look at this doctrine is that election is not something that is done apart from faith. All right? It is something that's done apart from works, but it's not something that's done apart from faith. In other words, as we go through this, you're going to see that in every case where God says, I've made a choice, you're also going to see a man who believes God's choice. And because of that, then certain things about God's choice come into play. In other words, this, listen. God has foreknowledge. He already knows what you're going to do. He knows your thoughts, he knows your intents and all that. But his foreknowledge does not compel him to force you to do what he knows. And he doesn't force you. You're always left with this choice about what you're going to do. You are not here today because God drug you down here. Okay? You made a choice about it and here you are. Now after you get halfway through this lesson, you may have wished that you'd made another choice. But you're here and that has a lot to do with your will. And so they get off track in this doctrine because they don't understand that God's election is, this is what I choose to use, but then there are people who believe God in that choice and therefore benefit from the choice that God made. Now, let's just get to the end of this and then we're going to go back and study the passage of Scripture. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, where are you going? When you die, you're going to hell. If you're here today with Jesus Christ, where are you going when you die? You're going to heaven. Who made that choice? God made that choice. All right? And basically it's this. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You heard that. You said, you know what? I'm going to receive Jesus Christ. And you then became affected by the doctrine of election because God made a choice that every person in Jesus Christ would have eternal life and go to heaven, see? So now let's go through this passage and look at this again, this doctrine of election. Romans chapter 9, verse 7. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. All right, so now right here we see two people. God made a choice that a certain covenant would be made with a man named Abraham. He made another choice that covenant would be extended to a man named Isaac. Did Abraham have other children? Who did he have before he had Isaac? He had a man named Ishmael. Did he have children after Isaac? He did, by a woman named Keturah. All right, but he said, I'm going to make my choice in Isaac. So God chose Abraham, he chose Isaac. Watch this. Verse 8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, that is, that these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. God made that choice. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. All right. Then we jump all the way down into verse 24. Who are these people, this election? Verse 24, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith in Hosea, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Esaias also crieth concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Verse 29, as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us, Israel, a seed, we had been as Sodom and had been as Gomorrah. So God makes a choice. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel. He also makes another choice, Jesus Christ. Verse 33, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him, Jesus Christ, shall not be ashamed. And he makes another choice, as you saw in verse 24, Gentiles. The question is, then, are all those that are in Abraham elect? No. Not the children of the flesh, but the children of promise. Are all those in Isaac? No. Jacob. Are all those in Jacob? No. A remnant. Jesus Christ is chosen. Are all the Gentiles? No. Those that believe, and whosoever, verse 33, believeth on him shall not be ashamed. What you're going to see as we go through this study today, that's just kind of an introduction. What you're going to see is this. This thing called election never works apart from faith. He says here in verse 11 that the purpose of God according to election might stand, watch it, not of works. What he's trying to show Israel here in this whole chapter is you can't keep the law, and by keeping the law, get in. Verse 30 and 31, what shall we say then, that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of what? Faith. But Israel which followed after the law of righteousness hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. And that's the whole point of Romans chapter 9, is he's trying to show you the doctrine of election or the purpose of God according to election might stand not of works. He's hitting that thing with Israel one more time. You cannot keep the law and by keeping the law say, therefore, I am the child of Abraham. You must believe what God said and you must believe Jesus Christ. And now watch this. Watch this. We're going to go through all these I mentioned. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, Jesus, and the Gentiles, if we have time. Watch this. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. We're talking about election today and the part that faith plays. Genesis chapter 12, look at verses 1, 2, and 3. All right, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Watch it. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Who made that choice? God did. That was his choice. That was his purpose, the purpose of God according to election. He made that choice. All right. Notice he says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. What land? Verse 6, the Canaanite was then in the land. He's talking about the land of Canaan. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. All right, he doesn't have a child yet. And what was Abram's response? There builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east side of Bethel, pitched in having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, and there built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. God says, I'm going to give this land to you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you a seed and give this land to your seed. And Abram says, and he builds him an altar and worships God. You see, he's beginning to respond to the thing that God showed him. All right, look in Genesis chapter 15. God shows up again in verse 5 and says, he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. He has no baby. And he's an old man. And what's the next word? And he, what's the next word? Believed in the Lord. And he, that is the Lord, counted it to him, that is Abram, for righteousness. Any faith here? Any faith here? Absolutely there is. God said, this is my choice. And Abraham said, I believe that. He builds an altar and worships it. And he says, he said, I believe that. How much did he believe it? Turn to Genesis chapter 22. How much did he believe that? Now he's got the baby. His name is Isaac. Isaac is a teenager by this time. And the Lord says to him, he says, you know what we need to do? You need to go sacrifice that baby. That's what you need to do. That young man. You need to go sacrifice that young man. And Abraham goes up there and he's got the knife raised and he's going to kill him. And then the angel stops him. Verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, after he stops him, and they offer this, the ram, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because that thou hast done this thing, hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. That's what he promised him back in Genesis 15. And as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. That's the same thing that he promised in Genesis 12. Now he passes it down to Isaac, and it's because he believed him. Was there any faith involved in this? Yes, there was. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is the great passage of Scripture. In the New Testament, we call the chapter of faith. These are where all the heroes of the faith are listed. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's see how much he believed. Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises, the promise of the blessing, the promise of the land, the promise of the seed, offered up his only begotten son. Boy, that sounds an awful lot like Jesus Christ. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Why did Abraham do it? Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham believed him so much, he said, sure, I don't mind, I'll kill the boy. Why? Because I know if you're going to fulfill that promise, you're going to have to raise this boy up and do it. And nobody's talking resurrection back in those days. As a matter of fact, look in John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, the belief, the faith that Abraham had was so big in what God said, in what God's purpose according to election was, that Jesus in John chapter 8 said to the Jews that were arguing with him about whether he was really the Son of God, he said to them in John chapter 8 verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. How did he see it? By faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But he saw it. How did he see it? Because he believed God. So do you see, in his case, election didn't operate independent at all of what Abraham believed. Now God knew what Abraham would do, but he didn't force him to do it. He didn't force him to kill that kid. He said, kill that kid. And Abraham went up there and willingly did that. God said, now I know. I know. And it was faith that allowed him to do it. Do you see that? Now, it's not of works. That's what Paul's trying to prove here. But it is saying, when God makes known his purpose, according to election, those that believe fulfill what God said. You see that? All right, watch Isaac. Go back to Genesis chapter 17. So God makes this promise to Abraham. You were reading it quickly, but you see what it is. It involves blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curses thee. I'm going to give you some land. I'm going to give it to your seed. All right? Genesis chapter 17, God then makes a covenant with Abraham. He becomes, in this passage, and it's the covenant of circumcision. And in this passage, Isaac is also circumcised. Well, he's not circumcised. Ishmael is, because Isaac hadn't been born yet. But you look at Genesis chapter 17 at verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt no longer call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her, and I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I'll make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this said time in the next year. Look at Genesis chapter 21. At verse 12, God's making the choice here, but watch what happens. All right, he's going to repeat it again after Isaac is born. Genesis chapter 21, verse 12, there's an argument about getting rid of Ishmael, getting him out of the house. And at verse 12, God said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman, that's Ishmael and Hagar. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So there's God's choice. Do you see it? That is the purpose of God according to election. What is Isaac's response? All right, first of all, in Genesis chapter 22, which we just were in, look at verse 9. You know, the question comes up in verse 7. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, he said, here am I. He said, my son, he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. You say, why are you showing me that passage? Because by this time Abraham is 100 years old, and Isaac is a grown teenager. Now, what's the likelihood, Mr. Holder, that a 100-year-old man's going to take a grown teenager and tie him up and put him on that altar unless that boy is willing? To go. Look at Genesis chapter 26, verse 2. Genesis chapter 26, look at verses 2 through 5. The Lord appeared unto, Isaac. You see verse 1 at the end. Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. And I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Look at verse 24. So he's telling him, this is what I'm going to do. Don't go down to Egypt. Verse 24. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant's sake. Do you see? He's talking about the land. He's talking about the seed. He's talking about the covenant. He's talking about forever. Watch it. What did he do? He built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. He builds that altar, and when he does, what he's evidencing is that he believes what God said. He's worshiping God for what he gave him. Now let's see if he really believed it. Genesis chapter 27, look at verse 28. Genesis chapter 27, look at verse 28. This is Isaac, and he is blessing Jacob now. You remember the switcheroo? Jacob pretends to be Esau, and Isaac is blessing him. And look what Isaac says in verse 28. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. That's all standard. Verse 29. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. That was what was said in the womb. The elder shall serve the younger. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Here's the blessing that came to Abraham, now being passed down to Jacob by Isaac. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Did he believe it? It's absolutely the same thing that God gave to Abraham. Now Isaac is passing down to Jacob. Look in just Genesis chapter 28 at verses 3 and 4. God Almighty blessed thee. This is Isaac. See in verse 1, Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. Verse 3, God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee that thou mayest be a multitude of people and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. Any faith involved in that? Absolutely. In case you're wondering, look what Paul says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. Hebrews chapter. I hope as we go through this is not something that is boring because we're looking at so much scripture. It's like, boy, by the time I get there, you know, you've already gone on to the next scripture. Not trying at all to overwhelm you with scripture, trying to help you to understand something. People today who say that the doctrine of election in Calvinism has nothing to do with you believing are not even believing what the Bible says about all the people that God mentioned when he talked about the purpose of God according to election. Every one of them believed it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20, 17 through 19 was Abraham and Isaac, and how God, in verse 19, was able to raise him up even from the dead. Now watch verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Of course it was by faith. So this doctrine of election never operates independent of faith, but it does operate independent of works. And that's what Paul is really, really trying to emphasize to Israel in Romans chapter 9. All right, here's Jacob. So we've had Abraham, we had Isaac. Now look at Jacob. Jacob, look in Genesis chapter 25 at verse 23. All right, so Rebecca is pregnant, and she's got turmoil in her tummy. She's trying to figure this thing out. Verse 22, the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Verse 23, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. They hadn't done anything by this point. He just says, that's how it's going to be. The elder shall serve the younger. All right, turn to Genesis chapter 28. Now, you know what happens. Jacob steals the blessing. He has to run. He's heading toward Laban. On the way, he stops in Haran. And in Genesis chapter 28, verse 10, Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. This dream is what we commonly call Jacob's ladder. And the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Sound like election? It does. And he's telling him the same thing he said to Abraham. He's telling him the same thing that he said to Isaac. There's Esau, but he said, I'm not going to do it with him. I'm doing it with you. My choice. What was Jacob's response? Verse 16. Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar. We call it a pillow today. And poured oil upon the top of it. Actually, a lot of my grandfather used to call pillows pillars. I had to sleep on my pillar last night. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So what was Jacob's response to the vision? I don't believe that. And just walked off, right? No, God showed him what the election was. He says, I believe that. I trust that. Look in Genesis chapter 48. At the end of Jacob's life. Let's see where he is with all this. Genesis 48. He calls Joseph. He says, bring with you your two sons. And so Manasseh and Ephraim come. Jacob was told that Joseph is there. Verse 3, Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, and said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful, I will multiply thee, and make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. Of course he believed it. And he's living by it. And he's not depending on keeping any kind of works or anything else like that. He's simply trusting what God said. And when you go to that great passage on the heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11, and you see what the Bible says about Jacob, the Bible says, by faith, Verse 21, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the head of his staff. Abraham, he believed it. Isaac, he believed it. Jacob, he believed it. Do we see where this is going? All right, now he's going to make the same thing to Israel. And this is, we had to establish that path, that pattern to get to this, to ultimately to what we're going to show you now. Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Israel is down in Egypt. God is ready to bring them out of Egypt and back to the land of Canaan. And in Exodus chapter 4, Moses is given particular instructions to go tell Pharaoh something. And here's what he's supposed to tell him. Exodus 4:22. Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. All right, Abraham, I gave you a promise. Isaac. Isaac, gave you a promise. Jacob. Jacob, give you a promise. Israel. Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Whose choice? People say Israel, the nation of Israel, is God's what people? Chosen people. Who made the choice? God. Look at Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. Look at verse 3. Excuse me. Exodus 19:3. Moses went up unto God, and the Lord, Exodus 19:3. Moses went up unto God. This is right now at Mount Sinai. He's getting ready to give the Ten Commandments. Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice, and keep my covenant, then shall you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Let me ask you something about Israel. How have they done over the centuries and millennia with this doctrine of election? They hadn't done so good, have they? Jesus Christ showed up and they didn't do so good, did they? You know what? Turn to Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. You know what God's going to do? He's still going to fulfill that promise. Malachi chapter 3, look at verse 6. I'm jumping way ahead here, but I want to make sure we don't miss this. Malachi, last book of the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 6. You know what the Lord said? I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. You know, the Hittite nation is gone. Been gone for a long time. It was gone so long, the archaeologists said the Bible can't be true. There's never been a Hittite nation. They dug down under all that sand. They found that Hittite nation was one of the greatest nations on earth. They're gone. Girgashites, you know where they are? They're gone. Perizzites, gone. How about the Canaanites? Gone. All those nations that were around, Kenites, Kezanites, all those nations that were around, they're all gone. Jacob's still around. Israel's still around. Why? Because God said, I made a covenant with you. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. But in Romans chapter 9, Paul is saying, hey, not everybody that was born to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob gets in, but those that believe. Because it's always been that way. It's always been that way. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Look at verses 6 through 8. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, that's the same as Mount Sinai, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mount, turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites, and unto all the places nigh thereunto in the plain and the hills and the vale and the south by the seaside to the land of the Canaanites and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. And so they go. Now, there's some other verses, but I know where we're going to run into a problem with time here. So let me jump ahead and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. Excuse me. Isaiah chapter 45 and look at verse 4. Isaiah 45, look at verse 4. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine, what's the next word? Elect. I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Is Israel God's elect or not? Well, how come then not all of them get in? And the reason is very simple. When God makes his choice, he doesn't count it to you for righteousness until you believe it. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. What's the next word? Elect. In the essence of time, we won't do this, but in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1, the Bible shows you that Jesus is elect. And here he is, elect. Precious. What are the next words? And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. That's what Paul said at the end of Romans 9:33. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 9. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. They were appointed, but they were disobedient. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people. That's what he said in Romans chapter 9. But are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's Gentile. How'd you get in on that? Because you believed something that God said, whereas Israel chose not to believe it, though they tried to get in by the works of the law. And Paul said it won't work. Turn back to Romans chapter 9. Now with what you've seen here, look at this again. Romans chapter 9. Verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness. Look at verse 25. As he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, verse 30, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, had not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Do you see what happens here then? This thing, from cover to cover, always requires somebody to believe. Look in Romans chapter 10. We're going to study this in more detail, but watch it. Romans chapter 10, look at verse 16. They have not all obeyed the gospel. Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Romans chapter 11, look at verse 19. Thou will say then, the branches, we're talking about Israel, and you'll see it in the context when we get there, were broken off that I might be grafted in, that's Gentiles. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. You see what's going on here? What's going on here is that God made a covenant with Abraham. He believed it. Isaac, he believed it. Jacob, he believed it. Israel, and a lot of them didn't believe it. And when Paul was preaching, he says, you Jews won't get this. I'm sick and tired of dealing with you. I turned to the Gentiles. And when he turned to the Gentiles, you know what we did? We said, I believe it. And you know what God said? Then you're elect. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 10. Colossians 3:10, put in the middle of a context about putting off the old man, putting on the new man, have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the, what are the next three words? Elect of God. Holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and longsuffering. How did you become the elect of God? Because God made that choice before the foundation of the world and you didn't have anything to do with it? Or because you believed what God said? He said this, and we'll see it in Romans chapter 10 next week. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if thou shalt believe in thine heart, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, why, he's the elect. And believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The whole thing in Romans chapter 9 is not of works, but it is of faith. God knew what you would do, but he didn't make you do it. And Jesus, in spite of that, died for everybody because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen? Father, we pray. We've looked at a lot of scripture today. We've really gone around a lot of things, but I'm asking you, Father, to help us to be able to process all that we've seen. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that when we do, it will be really, really certain to us exactly what you meant by these doctrines that are often so confusing to men. Help us to know them the way that you wrote them, not the way that they're presumed to be taught. For we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.